Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. When this son of yours came back, it's maybe the crucial line of our biblical reading today, the parable we heard, because it reveals so much. When this son of yours came back. Don't feel bad if that line doesn't immediately spring to mind or if you don't remember it right away. It's not your fault. We're entering the story late, you see, a little more than midway through. It's that part of the parable of the prodigal son that we often forget about. The earlier part of the story we know about the kid, the younger of the two brothers, who demands his inheritance, and when his dad gives it to him, goes out to another land and wastes it all and immediately until he's hungry and humiliated and decides to crawl home to beg his father's forgiveness. As it turns out, he doesn't have to beg much. Jesus says that even before the son got home, the father saw him at a distance, ran out to greet him, scooped him up in a bear hug, and wouldn't even allow his son to finish his apology. Rather than listen to the speech the kid had rehearsed, the father gives his servant some orders, as we heard at the beginning of today's reading. The father said to the slaves, "Quickly bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now is found." And they began to celebrate. That's the first half of the story, the part we know best. But this man had two sons, the younger one we've been talking about, and the older one, who was kind of easy to overlook. He's the one who stayed home to keep the ranch running while his younger brother headed out of town looking for adventure. He's the one who worked day in and day out, never taking a vacation, to make sure that everything got done and got done well. He's the one who was so regularly out in the fields, so dependable that it was easy to take him for granted, that they forgot to send for him and invite him to the party they were throwing for his younger brother. As Jesus continues his story, saying, "Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. And he replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I've been working like a slave for you, and I've never disobeyed your command. Yet you have not given me even a small goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, the one who devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. But when this son of yours came back," and that one line, you can hear all the resentment and anger this elder son has been carrying for who knows how long. "This son of yours," not my brother, your son. This Epiphany season, we've been exploring how our faith can help us find more of the things we value most: hope, truth, joy, and this week, peace. We're focusing on these things because we know that at times they can feel rather scarce. And if that is true of hope, truth, and joy, it is especially true of peace. Even a quick glance at the headlines or an honest moment of self-reflection reminds us that on the whole, peace, whether peace in our hearts or home, peace in our community or the world, peace is often pretty hard to come by. There is not a lot of peace in the world. There is not a lot of peace in this parable either. The father, who sees his younger son way in the distance, was clearly waiting and watching for him every single day since the day the young one took off, which means that he had not experienced a moment of peace from the day his younger son left. And now, just at the outset of celebrating his younger son's safe return, he's dealing with the anger of his elder son, and the peace he was enjoying just a moment ago has now vanished. I don't think, though, that it's actually the older brother's anger that grieves his father. I think it's the resentment. Resentment that has rendered him unable to celebrate his younger brother's safe return, unable even to see him as a brother, this son of yours. In response, the father doesn't scold him or get angry at him for his lack of respect. Rather, he says to him, "Son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and now is alive. He was lost, but now he's been found." Notice that shift. When the elder brother speaks, it's this son of yours, disavowing his any relationship with his younger brother. And then the father reminds him that they are indeed brothers, family, kin, people who are supposed to look out, care, and love each other. This brother of yours was dead and now is alive, was lost and now is found. Maybe that is the secret to finding peace, to be able to look around and see the people you see as part of your family, connected to us by a shared humanity, to look around and see all the people around you and realize immediately that they deserve love, care, compassion, dignity, respect. Maybe Jesus is telling us in this parable that that's the secret to finding peace. Or maybe it's being willing to forgive. Like the father who first runs out to greet and forgive his lost younger son and then runs out of the party he's hosting to greet and forgive his older son. Forgiveness. Maybe that's the key to peace. Or maybe it's gratitude. Gratitude that can keep resentment at bay. The father reminds his son that absolutely everything he owns is also his son's. But the elder son can't see that, can't recognize his blessing, and so gets trapped in resentment. Maybe gratitude is the key to peace. Or maybe it's all of these things, seeing those around us as valued, being willing to forgive others, choosing gratitude over resentment. Maybe all of those things will bring us more peace. And yet, I think there is more going on here. That is, I think there's more to this parable than merely giving us good advice. Of course, forgiving others, caring for others, valuing them, being grateful. Of course, those are good things, and I believe they will bring us more peace. But sometimes they are really, really hard to pull off. Sometimes we're too afraid of those who are different from us to value them. Sometimes the hurts we've experienced run so deep, forgiveness seems nearly impossible. Sometimes the setbacks and disappointments of life make it hard to recognize how blessed we are, and so we find ourselves trapped in resentment. And so while I think that valuing others, forgiving others, being grateful for will absolutely bring us more peace, I don't think that's the point of Jesus' story. Instead, I think the point of this parable is that God will not give up on us, even when we struggle. That God will always come for us, that God will search and seek us out, will run to us, just like the love-crazed father of this parable goes chasing after each of his wayward sons to greet and forgive them. That's what Jesus offers as the root of our peace, the knowledge, the promise, and in his cross, the evidence that God will always seek us out, will never give up on us, even when we struggle to value others, forgive others, or be grateful. So here is the thing on this chilly February Sunday morning. I have no idea where you may be just now. Maybe you are doing well at valuing and forgiving others, or maybe you are struggling mightily. Maybe you live with a sense of gratitude even when things are hard and are looking forward to the future, or maybe you are stuck in some past regret or resentment. Maybe your faith is transparent and strong right now, or maybe you're not sure what to believe, or even if you still believe, or maybe you are somewhere else on that continuum. The thing is, whatever you are feeling right now matters, of course. But it doesn't matter nearly as much as the fact that God loves you, will never give up on you, will search and seek you out, will love and accept you just as you are, wherever you are, here and now. Sometimes a single line makes all the difference because it reveals so much. So hold on this week to this line. You are a beloved child of God, and nothing can separate you from that love. And knowing that, trusting that, brings peace. Thanks be to God. Amen.